Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today, we are joined by Haley Folk. She is a writer, editor, and podcast host based in New York City. She's the host of the Naked Folk podcast, a sexual wellness, relationships, and lifestyle podcast, and enjoys writing LGBTQ plus lifestyle, personal narratives, and sex and wellness content. So hi, Haley, how are you? And welcome to my podcast.
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to chat with you and kind of catch up on all things that I've been doing and just New York City as well. And it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we were talking off air. Haley and I actually met for coffee. I reached out to her just like blindly about like 2-3 years ago. And it's so interesting to see where we are in our lives now. But before we get started, Haley, why don't you introduce yourself to my listeners? Tell us who you are, who is Haley Folk, and your relationship with New York.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Haley Folk. I am a sex and relationships writer. I'm a podcast host and I own an editorial brand called Naked Folk. I have lived in New York City for almost 6 years now, and I lived here before in college for a brief internship. And when I did that internship, I realized that I really wanted to be in the city. So I moved here in 2019 and I've been here ever since. And the city for me has been a place to grow in my career, grow in myself, and also heal from heartbreak from a past relationship. And that's been a really big component for me, is it's built my self-confidence and my feeling of being able to heal and move forward in a lot of different aspects of my life.
So I would love to hear about your writing background. Did you always want to be a writer?
Yeah, so I have always wanted to be a writer. I remember being like 5 and 6 and having a birthday party and everyone else playing outside. And I was in my room because I wanted to write. And my grandma had to come get me and be like, Haley, there's people here, like you should come out. And I just was always so interested in writing, whether it be, just like creating stories myself or writing about other people. And when I went to college, I knew that I wanted to do something involved in writing, but I didn't know that it could be a career. Like I could actually do something with it where I was making money, I was having a good time doing it, and it was about something that I cared about. And so I slowly was working a little bit in marketing and copywriting mm-hmm. out of college, and my degree is in PR and journalism. So at first I was doing a little bit of more news, hard-hitting beats. And now I focus only on sex and relationships and lifestyle content, but it took me a while to get there. Like my relationship with my career now has been really wonderful in the sense that it's built slowly over time. And where I'm at now, I could have never imagined being here. Like when I moved to New York, I really wanted to become a sex, relationships, and lifestyle writer, kind of like Carrie Bradshaw, you know, like everyone has, writers have this dream of moving here and being able to become that woman. And I did build it up over time. So I did an MFA at the New School in nonfiction creative writing. And while I was there, I started working on individual essay pieces. And those eventually turned into things that I started cold pitching to publications and saying, hey, are you interested in this? Is it something that you'd be into? Like finding people on LinkedIn that I had never talked to before and just messaging them out of the blue. And that is actually how my first piece was ever really published in the sex and wellness space for Refinery 29. So it's been a journey, but I've always wanted to be a writer, and I feel really lucky and privileged to be in the space that I am and get to do what I love.
I love hearing that because it seems like you were putting yourself out there and just trying to hope for something to stick. I also know that, writing about sex is a it's not difficult, but not everybody is open to that, right? So can you tell me about, I guess, your interest in that topic? Were you always brave enough to just go there? Because it is a topic where some people can be intimidated by, it's a little taboo. Well, not now, but I'm just saying, like, in general, people have different perspectives of how open they are with their sex and they're just a relationship with that. So tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've always been really courageous in my writing. I feel like writing is a space where you can really say the things you wouldn't say out loud and like process it almost. And so, because I came from that background of always doing that, when it came to writing about sex, I felt like I approached it from the same space. Maybe I wouldn't talk about these things with my friends or my partners at the time, before I felt more sexually liberated, but I could write it down. And that was freeing for me. And I think, going into the sex and relationship space, there is a lot of it that exists that's a little bit raunchy, not my taste, isn't very helpful, is written more as erotica versus being a helpful sex and relationships piece. And so I decided that that needed to be something I wanted to do. I really took some pieces I wrote in my MFA around sex that were a little bit more narrative, like story driven, and turned them into helpful pieces. My very first piece that I ever did on sex content was a review on a vibrator. I think it was actually a review on a vibrator that tracks your orgasms through an app. So this company reached out to me and they saw one of my pieces and said, "Hey, do you want to review this?" And I started thinking, like, do I want to get into this realm? Like, what would it mean for me to start writing about this content? Because again, it's still taboo. Like, you're still dealing with society and what other people will think of you when you write this content. But I decided to go for it, and I approached it with the same lens of, let me just do it, and I'll write it as if no one was going to read it. That's kind of my tip is, when you're writing about sex or anything that's very personal, write it as if no one's going to read it and be very authentic and honest in the piece. And chances are people are going to really love it. And it's only grown from there. Like, since I've done that piece, I have done so many pieces around sex. I've grown really widely in my ability to talk about sex. Also, something that I did in my MFA program really helped me, which I took a class on the weekend, and it was how to write about sex, like how to write a sex scene. And there was maybe 10 people in the class because no one wanted to sign up for it because they were scared. And I signed up, and it wasn't that that like triggered my response to write about it, but it gave me a different lens of, oh, I'm actually brave enough to do this and put myself out there in that way that some people maybe can't.
No, that's very admirable. I've definitely read some of your pieces. And going from the comment of what you were saying, when you write, you have the mindset of nobody else is going to read it, but you also know that it is going to be published. So tell me about like the feedback. Have you received any like negative feedback from friends and family? Any shocking scenarios that you can talk about? Like, I would love to hear it because some people, it's not judgment, but they might look at you and say, "Oh, I didn't know she experienced this or thought about this or felt this or So tell me about just the feedback to some of your
Yeah,
articles.
so I have a few examples. When I first started doing this, I think my family, they are very supportive of me and loving. But when I first started writing publicly about sex, they were like, why do you have to do this? Why do you have to put this out for everyone to read? I think it was more so that they felt uncomfortable to see certain topics that I'm talking about. I just told them, like, you don't have to read it. You can skip on by or, look at it and not leave a comment. Like, that's okay too. And then someone that's very dear to me who reads all of my work, who is an older person in my family, she said that she reads all of my pieces and she reads it as if she wasn't related to me. And that helps her. She's like, it's great writing. I love reading what you're up to and how you talk about certain experiences, especially in the kink and BDSM world, like pieces I've done on that. She's like, your uncle doesn't want to read it because you've written it, but I will read it for the writing's sake. Otherwise, I feel like it's been really interesting. Most of the time, I think people are super interested in learning more when they hear what I write about. Sometimes I meet people and they ask what I do, like out in the city in a bar or whatever, and I say I'm a sex and relationships writer, and they get this like glossy look, like they're like, oh, I don't know what to say now, which is then I just like move along. But some people have the opposite, you know,
they're like really interested.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, tell me what that's like.
Yeah.
Tell me what you do, how you're brave enough to put that out there. And generally, I get a lot of questions around sex. Like, I think people have considered, you know, sex writers for a long time experts in the space.
Yeah.
And while some folks are experts in certain areas, I'm just writing about what I know and what I care about. And a lot of the things that I put out there are things that I'm really knowledgeable about, but I also consult experts to talk about those things. So sometimes people ask me like really intimate or personal questions that I don't have answers to, and then I'll pinpoint them to an article or an expert or a resource that they can go to for that.
Okay, so how does your husband feel about all of this?
Oh my gosh, he is the most supportive man. He has known me for a very long time. We were friends before we were ever romantic. And he's just, I think he like takes whatever I do and is like very supportive of it no matter what. But he in particular has been really supportive about being involved in the pieces. So that's another thing that is a struggle with this type of writing is how can you write about people in your life, especially in sexual situations, or in a relationship sense, without them feeling offended or feeling comfortable to be included. And that's something that he's really, really good at. I have included him in a few pieces. One of them was a men's health article around something called the one penis policy, which is when you're in an ethically non-monogamous relationship with typically a man and a woman, and the man is not okay with the woman sleeping with other men, but is comfortable with the woman sleeping with other women. It's the one penis policy. And I wrote this entire article sort of about what this is and from his perspective, how he has worked through us navigating not being in a one penis policy and what that's like. And then he's been in other articles too. Like we went to a sanctum party, which is,
I did read that one.
It's coined as like the world's most exclusive sex party. And he went with me to the party and he's gone with me to every single party. So naturally he's included in that. I've done two of them on Sanctum, and one of them was around just like the party in general. And then the second one was about how my partner made me cry at a sex party, but it's not what you think. And that has obviously a lot of us in it. But yeah, he's really great and supportive about having me include him in pieces. And if there's things that maybe like I'm not sure he'll be comfortable with, I just always ask him.
I was gonna ask, like, yeah, do you run it by him? But it sounds like you do.
Yeah.
So since becoming a writer in this industry, was there like a low moment that you can recall or like considered a rock bottom in your career or personal life that you can share?
Yeah, you know, I think a big moment for me, and I kind of referred to it a bit earlier around heartbreak and healing from New York City, is when I moved here, I was going through a divorce. I was married really young and the relationship didn't last. It was not with the right person that I was meant to be with forever. And I moved here with like nothing. I had three suitcases. I had no money really. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. I literally moved here so that I could pursue my dream of becoming a writer. And when people say becoming a writer, it's funny because if you write, you are a writer. But when you have a dream, it's like, oh, I have to go and become this thing. And I was really working hard to become a writer and become a sex and relationships writer and be brave enough to put myself out there. And I think there was a few low points where I just thought, am I going to be able to do this? I had a full-time job doing something else at a company I didn't like, in a role that I didn't like. And I wasn't really sure what the path forward was for me. It can feel really daunting to get in this industry because, you know, you work as a writer, you pitch to editors at these big publications, and they either don't answer your emails, you don't know their emails or how to get in contact with anyone there. And it seems very elusive, right? Like, it seems like there's like this wall up, and if you're in the club, you're in the club. And if not, there's no way to get there. And that's sort of how I felt. Like, I was pitching for a long time, and it wasn't until, you know, maybe 2 years after I moved here that I really started hearing back about my pitches. Either a no or yes, we'd love to take it. I remember the first time that I was paid for my work, because before I was paid for my work, I was submitting free pitches. Like, I was just willing for them to take my work and not be paid for it just to say that I had been published, which a lot of people do. But I think it was really hard for me in the beginning to like really continue to put yourself out there and pitch weekly, hearing no all of the time. And especially going through such a serious heartbreak and healing process. It wasn't just that I was going through a divorce. My mom passed away the previous year. So I was going through all of this grief as well, and trying to sort of make myself a new person and live a life that I actually wanted to live and that I was proud of. And yeah, my career was all intertwined in that. And sometimes it felt like, can I really get there?
So it sounds like writing definitely healed you and also in a way carved this path to, I guess, making your dream a reality. And that's what I love about like writing as well, because, you know, I'm a writer too, and it is very therapeutic. It's very personal, and what you do with it is up to you, whether you want to share it, whether you want to keep it close to your heart. So that's like the beautiful part. I do want to segue a little and make it a little raunchy. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and you can just give me your thoughts in like one sentence. You don't need to elaborate in a, you know, huge way, but just give me your quick thoughts. Okay. So what are your thoughts about watching porn in a relationship? Is it, are you like, yeah, cool, whatever, I don't care?
Yes. I am all about it. I think that if that's what you're into, if it sparks your sexual desire and your comfort with your partner, then you should absolutely do it. I think if you're going to do porn, one thing I'll say is ethical porn is something to consider. There are sites that provide ethical porn, and that's what I personally do with my partner.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I feel like I need to educate myself on that.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you feel about like the idea of soulmates? Is it BS?
I think that there are multiple soulmates that we have in a lifetime. I don't think that there's one person for us completely. Maybe that's because I'm ethically non-monogamous, but I think there's like friend soulmates too. So yeah, I think that they exist, but there's many.
Okay. So I think I've been hearing it's like a controversial topic about like female orgasms with just penetration. I don't know if you have experience you want to share, but do you think like every woman can experience an orgasm just strictly from penetration?
I was actually doing some research on this yesterday for a piece I'm writing. I think it's something like only 18% of all women can experience an orgasm from penetration alone. I think it's something around, the exact figure was like 58% can with other stimulation involved. For me, it's not something that is fully happening every time, but sometimes on rare occasions, and it feels different than other types of orgasms.
Interesting. How do you keep it spicy with your partner?
We talk a lot, either in bed or not, about sex. We really just say what's on our minds. And I think I'm bisexual. So a lot of times I'll literally point out women in the street and be like, that woman is so hot or whatever. And it's this way for us to communicate about sexual desires and fantasies that brings us into our own place in the bedroom together. And it's not just in the bedroom. I think sexuality belongs in many places, and you get the opportunity to share that with your partner in different ways that you want to.
Yes, I love that. What are your top five sex toys recommendations?
So Lilo is my favorite brand. Number one off the top is the Lilo Cruise. It is a more of like the sucking vibrator that's meant to mimic oral sensation. Next is the Lilo Dot. I really love that one. It's meant to mimic oral as well, but it feels like a butterfly sensation. So it's like round and then gets skinnier, and the tip moves, and it's a very small tip. So it's very interesting. I also really like this dual-sided vibrator from a brand called Bloomie. They are a Latina-owned brand. I'm actually friends with the founder. And that's like more of a beginner's basic. It's for clitoral stimulation and also insertable. What else do I like? The Playboy line. There's a Playboy line that's featured in the Lovers stores, and they have one called, I think it's called the Palm, and it literally fits in the palm of your hand. It looks like a little moon shape, a crescent, and you can, it has three motors, and you can put it for clitoral stimulation, vaginal opening stimulation, and then the entire thing vibrates as well. So that it's really fun to play with. How many is that? I think
I
that's
think that's
four.
four.
My last one, let me think. I am a big fan of dildos. I think that vibrators are definitely where it's at for a lot of folks, but dildos that don't vibrate are also great, and they can be used to help you explore your body. They can be a really great way to explore how you feel about penetration, if it's something that maybe you're not into, or if you're exploring the G spot and you don't really know what feels good and what doesn't, especially if you're in a partnership with a male identifying person. I think that that could be a good way to segue into exploring sex in a different way. And also, if you just like penetration, it can be great. You can use it alone or with a vibrator or with something else.
I love that. I love that you just like knew on the top of your head exactly what the names were, exactly what they did. It's great. So anybody who's listening, definitely take notes. Okay, this might be a little personal. I don't know. You don't have to answer, but is there anything on your sex bucket list that you have yet to
Oh, my
check
sex
off?
bucket list. I've done a lot of my sex bucket list, to be fair. But I think that for me, I really like voyeurism. I think that it's really fun to be in the room with other people or to see, like, just be involved in watching folks have sex. Something on a bucket list for me, though, is for me to be with someone else in front of my partner, someone who's a male. I've done it with women, but I've never been with a male in front of my partner, and that's definitely something on my bucket list. I think it fulfills something for me about my bisexuality, and also that my partner is fully supportive, and transparent about my bisexuality and being ethically non-monogamous too.
Does your husband know about this bucket
Yes,
list? Okay.
we've talked about it a lot, but surprisingly, it's really hard to find someone who would be interested in doing this, who we both find attractive, because we have different, I think we have different versions of like what we would be attracted to in a male.
Okay, so going off of that, how do you maintain like security in like your relationship? Like, are there feelings of jealousy? Are there feelings of just, I don't know, does your mind ever go there? Or are you guys just so just strong enough that it doesn't really, affect you guys?
I mean, sure, there are moments where jealousy comes in. I would say that I am primarily not a jealous person. It's very rare that I feel jealous. And what I get jealous about feels really funny sometimes, because it's more about, it's not like, oh, this person is interacting with my partner in a sexual way or he's on a date. It's more around them getting to spend time with my partner when I don't.
Okay.
And that's pretty rare. But I think we both talk about jealousy. We also talk about how we're feeling before and after dates, or we communicate a lot about the people we talk to. So if I'm texting someone, I'll literally say to him, "Oh, I'm texting so and so. We're talking about this," or we're super communicative, and I think that's what keeps us very strong and steady. I also think that both of us were fit into this box of monogamy for a long time in all of our previous relationships. And when we started really seeing each other, it was never a discussion of if we were going to be monogamous or not. We just always preferred that we were open and that we were seeing other people at the same time. So I think that's a big part of it too, is we never went from being closed to then being open.
Yeah, that definitely helps. So we're winding down now, and my podcast is called The City Confessions. I know you've been an open book, and thank you so much for sharing. But is there a confession you can share with all of us that you may have not already written about or talked about? And this can be something that's like surface level. It can be sexual. It can be professional. It can be whatever you receive it. But Haley, if you can share a city confession, what would that be?
Yes. So I recently launched Naked Folk, which is my editorial brand and podcast. The podcast came before the editorial side, but I am working now with sexual wellness brands in an agency form through Naked Folk to help them to grow, to create meaningful content around products, around sex, around taboo topics that maybe their product centers around. So I've been working kind of behind the scenes with a few different companies and folks to grow sexual wellness brands, and brands founded by women too, which is really important to me, and working with minorities as well. And then I also am writing a memoir. So I have been working on this memoir for about 3 years, and I'm now really kind of almost finished. I will be probably finished in September or October. So that's something I've been working on behind the scenes. And it's around addiction, grief, and love, and how all of those things can intermix, and there can be love in your life, even in hard situations.
That is really beautiful. And I can't wait to share like your links and all that so people can follow you on your journey. So I want to bring you back to New York, and I'm going to ask you five quick fire round questions, and you can just answer it with the first word that comes to your mind. Okay, awesome. So if you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Magical.
What's your favorite thing about the city?
Food.
Your least favorite thing?
Smells.
Your go-to spot or like restaurant, cafe?
Devotion in downtown
yes,
Brooklyn.
I love it too. And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
Bravery.
I love that. What a beautiful way to wrap this up, because I definitely do think that is a perfect word that not only describes the city, but describes you as a person, Haley. So I appreciate you sharing your story and coming and chatting with us. I will leave all of Haley's information in the show notes. So if you're watching or hearing this, be sure to expand on that. But with that being said, thank you so much. And I hope you all enjoy
thank you
this
so much.
Episode. Okay, bye.
Bye.